Testing, testing on the top channel.
Here I am on the bottom channel testing you, testing your patience, testing your love.
I'm actually on the bottom channel, which is sick.
Sick.
That is
it's
wrong.
Sick. Do you want to switch?
No, it's fine. Okay. But I just looked at the things and I was like,
just pretend Jonathan Bailey's in the room.
You know what? Sometimes I stretch a little.
And that means some time.
And that means some.
And time.
Times.
And that means stretch a little.
For him, I'd stretch a lot.
I know you would.
Welcome back to the Kibitz.
Hi.
The show where a pedantic yapper and a bimbo genius chit chat about whatever the hell we want.
Whatever the fuck I want at any given time. And whatever the fuck Connor wants at any given time. And then we do it together. And you love it.
This is episode 2 of the Public Kibitz Relaunch.
Baby. And did we relaunch?
It has been remarkable, honestly.
Bitch, our power. Our minds.
The people are tuning in.
The people are tuning in. The people are hungry. The people are starving.
The people demand weekly updates.
Absolutely. The people are putting pressure on my neck.
And if you're someone who was demanding weekly kibitz, we did release 3 Kitty Bitty episodes.
3 Kitty Bitty. I know, exactly. So, for all the bitches who I love so much demanding me to get in the studio on a weekly basis, number one, just wait for it. Okay.
Wait for it. We're getting it. We're warming
her
up.
We're getting there. We're getting there. You know, she's tight. You got to warm her up.
And she has to feel desired before she agrees.
I know. Exactly.
So just
it's
keep
actually,
it up.
Actually, the more love you send me, we all know that I have a Tinkerbell complex and I actually do sustain myself on adoration. So if you want me to exist in this corporeal plane long enough to do a weekly episode, I simply need a lot more love, adoration, streams, and money to make that happen.
Yeah. So frankly, subscribe to the Patreon and continue to tell her how great she is in the comments on Instagram or wherever else. I'm not on Twitter, but you are.
Yeah, exactly. Do it everywhere. If you get Bitty and my Kitty enough, I'll do a weekly episode for you.
But patreon.com/kibitzcast, check it out, because we did, in fact, do the Lana Del Rey versus Ethel Cain
one.
We
did.
Then we did live reportage on the Cardi B verdict.
Baby, I put my journalist hat on.
Jordan
in a
was
big
on the
way.
Beat.
I was on the beat. I was
informed
in the
me live on air
live
that Cardi was innocent. It was
you
great.
Live breaking news that you got 2 days later, but I recorded it live. So
I got it live, and that's really what matters.
That's
because
really
you
what
get
matters.
To experience us experiencing our moments live.
Live moments together for you.
And then we did a third one that I'm going to give you a clip from toward the end of this episode about Elizabeth Gilbert's new memoir.
Yes.
And that one.
That
is a true barn burner.
baby, that one's gonna bust your fucking walls down. That's gonna be the one of that, like that grandma praying on her bed and then the fucking side of her bedroom explodes.
It's very
that's
bad.
What that episode is energetically.
I just heard from Holly Raymond's wife, who was flying to a business trip, and said that she listened to that on the plane and it was a terrible mistake. She had to control herself the entire flight because she could not laugh or she was going to look like an insane person. And yet...
That makes so much sense to me.
Each new twist and turn...
That makes so much sense to me.
...was wild.
Uh-huh. Baby.
I said, set it free. Just laugh. They will understand.
They
sometimes
will get it. They will get it.
Things are funny.
You know what? Stream it over the intercom.
Yeah, you know what? Play it for the whole flight.
Play it for the whole plane.
They need to know what Elizabeth's been up to.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I'm going to get you a QR code. Play it for the whole plane. Relentless marketing at the Kibitz Cast.
But seriously, thank you all for the support. It's been so amazing out the gate. We said this on the Kitty Bitty, but to say it again on the public feed outside the paywall, we blew right past my podcast host's threshold for advertisers in 3 days.
Baby, in 72 hours, you got us sponsored.
We don't have sponsors yet.
You got us to qualify for sponsorship.
Yeah, the sponsors are having a look.
Yes.
They're swiping.
They're swiping. Yeah, you got us on their For You page.
And we were not on the app previously.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Now we are.
No, now we're on their page.
We're swipeable now.
We're swipeable.
That is because of viewers like you.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, we were both so fucking blown away. We're so glad you love it so much. Insane reception for like an independent podcast.
Yeah, I mean, this is totally like, we are sitting in my apartment right now, looking at each other, and I'm going to edit this myself tomorrow on a plane.
Exactly.
This is a very independent operation.
This is a very DIY situation. And the like outpouring of love and support you guys have given literally made me cry. I love you all so much. Thank you. Don't stop. Don't
stop. And like,
stop.
She is not a girl who cries.
No, she's not a girl. Well, actually, well, as we know. Yeah. No, I'm a big empathetic
overtly,
crier.
Openly.
Yeah,
right. Yes,
yeah,
so you'll cry at something.
Exactly.
But you're not really. Uh-huh. I'm the same way. I cry at a TV show very easily. But like, if I'm going through it, it's going to be like really stoic until I go into my room and scream.
Exactly. Yeah. I never cry about like my own traumas or my own accomplishments. This is one that did it.
Yeah.
And it's all thanks to you all. And I love you so much. Give me a kiss.
Mwah.
Mwah. Thank you.
So a lot's been going on in the world.
So much. Famously, Bald and Dowd, who's a Twitter account that I love, tweeted, it's so much going on, girl.
It's so much going on.
It's too much going on.
It is. And frankly, we're only going to talk about fun things going on.
Because
everybody's been having like a non-fun week.
Yeah.
Mostly.
No, exactly. There's been, you know, there's big things happening.
Events have occurred in these United States, and we're just going to talk about something else.
Yeah, exactly. Take a break. Literally cleanse your brain.
I'm actually going to take us all the way to the UK for our first item. Kate Middleton was at the National History Museum in London and gave an interview about her kids, which, you know, is unusual for her. She's very private, especially about the children, George and Charlotte and Louis.
And Louis.
She said, they're getting so big now. It only feels like yesterday, but George is already in my shoes. And, you know, okay, so that's cute. It's endearing.
Look.
If my mother went on a TikTok for the museum and said that I was in her shoes, that I was putting on mummy's pumps and walking about in the mirror, in the looking glass, I wouldn't be thrilled. I just, you know, he's 12, which is about the age that one does start trying on mummy's pumps.
That's the exact age that happens. Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, I feel like this is a humbling moment. Royal children of any orientation, of any gender, of any presentation, just simply exploring as children do. I love to know that royals are just like us, because of course, when you try on your mom's shoes, your mom has to tell everyone about it in a way that is like completely devoid of any awareness or context.
That would be like something you didn't want people to know. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's kind of like if my mother had been interviewed by Westchester Lawyer magazine in like 1995 and had told them about how I like to play Scooby-Doo by myself, but I'm Daphne.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. It's exactly
Nobody
that.
Nobody needs
which
to know that.
Does.
And thankfully, my mother was never given the occasion to tell the world about this in some sort of interview.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't have the platform. Usually the platform is like the parents' pickup huddle outside of kindergarten.
Right. And that's like, where this you know, happens. Neighbors knowing about that was embarrassing, but fine.
It's fine. Yeah, exactly. It's PR manageable as a child.
Right.
Yeah, no, but it is, I think it's so important. I think it's like in a really important growth level for...
He is the heir to the throne. Like he does need to learn now what that's like. And here's the thing. There's particular context though, because right now Off-Broadway, I don't know if you're aware, is a play called Prince Faggot. Jordan just... coughed on her vape.
I just spit my vape all over the place.
And this play is about Prince George, age 18, coming out of the closet and it being a crisis for the royal family.
Mom, you're not helping the brand. You're
it
not
is a
helping the
huge
brand.
Huge hit off Broadway. It's by Jordan Tannehill, who is a bit of a provocateur in the Canadian theater scene. He's married to the actor Brandon Flynn, who I think you know.
Yeah, oh, I know. me and many gays in my circle now.
Yeah, so it's that energy. It's about George coming out and Kate and William not wanting to meet his boyfriend, who is Muslim, and it being just a real big problem for everybody. It just got extended. The thing about this play is Prince George is a little bit, you know.
He got a little sugar in the tank.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it's a little rude to make jokes like that about a child, but also we have eyes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Look, I know a gay child when I see one.
Was one myself.
Was one.
It's one of those things
exactly.
Where you're like, oh, girl, this is going to
be tough for
you. Many
people listening were. I would say most.
And the play is extremely sympathetic mm-hmm. to George. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, it is
absolutely
the
yeah.
American royal thing going on no. is a play about gay Prince George coming of age. So, you know, I don't think that those royal children are online, which is good for them. So I don't think Prince uh-huh. George knows that. But you know Kate does, because they had an all-hands meeting about Prince Faggot, I would imagine, at the firm.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, I know she's been through a lot lately. She was ill and et cetera, but I wouldn't have told everyone about Mummy's Pumps during
yeah,
the run
no.
of Prince Faggot off Broadway.
I mean, look, an important milestone for every child, whether you end up being gay or not, is having your mom stoke the fires of your gay allegations.
Yeah, and you know what? I like to think that maybe this is her recognizing the success of Prince Faggot and saying, actually, in real life, I let George wear my pumps.
Yeah,
so
no, exactly.
The idea oh, no. that your play is she's positing I am a homophobe is incorrect.
She's getting in on this PR train.
Maybe she's soft launching Prince Faggot herself.
Yeah, thank you. She's like, I'm obviously not going to win against these gay allegations. I am going to position myself as supportive mother.
Just to be clear, I am the future queen and an ally.
And an ally, period. Period. But no, this is absolutely just like mom not doesn't know how to shut up about this.
I love this. I love that
I love
she doesn't
so
talk
much.
About her kids like ever and just
uh-huh.
happen to share, oh,
oh
but
absolutely.
The gay one? He
no, but that's
shoes.
Always how it happens. It's always how it happens. It has to be that.
But I love the idea. I do love the idea that she gets a giggle out of it. Maybe
I
she
do
doesn't
too.
Even understand
I do
what
too.
It means. She's
I think
pretty
this is
sheltered.
So precious. I think
it's
this is
cute.
So precious.
Also in the arts, you're a real cinephile, as we
yeah.
know, and you've been following the festival circuit.
Baby, I have been following the film festival circuit like I have a pass, baby. Yeah, so much has been going on in the film circuit. Venice Film Festival just happened. TIFF just happened. And honestly, I am so geeked and gagged about the upcoming couple years in film. There's so much good shit coming out of the gate. One that like popped out to me immediately that I'm so happy about, My Tall King. Jacob Elordi is apparently killing it on the festival circuit, getting rave reviews for his big ass role in Frankenstein.
Yeah, everyone says he's fucking great in Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, which I was already excited about, but apparently it's Jacob Elordi and Oscar Isaac acting their fucking faces off at each other.
Absolutely. And this is like, this is the role for him.
Talk about gay allegations. That is a perfect movie for both of those men who are both straight, I'm pretty confident, but
oh,
like
I'm positive.
They love a gay allegation.
I'm positive. I know, exactly.
And Frankenstein is the most gay allegations novel of all time, really.
Yeah, thank you, period.
Who was it who had to drop out of that? Andrew Garfield, I think?
Yeah, absolutely, which is the right choice.
Yeah, it's yeah. crazy because Jacob Elordi looks so much more like a Frankenstein's monster.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like a hot uh-huh. Frankenstein's
yeah,
monster.
Yeah, exactly.
But like a Frankenstein's
one that I need
monster.
To ride into absolute oblivion.
Until the parts fall off.
Thank you, exactly. I'm going to ride his stitches clean off. I don't care. Show up in costume, I don't give a fuck. So there's that. Harry Styles was in something. I see Harry Styles' name, and I literally, my brain evaporates.
But he's fucking Zoe Kravitz
he's
now.
He's fucking Zoe Kravitz now.
At
exactly.
the same time.
Oh,
she's got both of them.
Uh-huh. Both of them at the same time.
Because she's got Austin Butler, too. She has a rotation in public. I love her.
I love her so much. Sometimes you need to go on set and take two goodie bags.
That's the thing about her is she will bring a goodie bag to set.
Uh-huh. Her little white boy goodie bag. She takes
one
home
from everything she does.
Period. And she... biracial will be just like me in that way.
I
that's crazy.
No comment.
Please don't.
I've been watching this tendency of hers from the jump because when she was in X-Men First Class, she put Michael Fassbender in the goodie bag and she was like 23.
Uh-huh, exactly.
She climbed Everest.
Thank you. Uh-huh, absolutely. As she will. As she will if you saw Caught Stealing.
Penn Badgley's whole revamp as a leftist came post Zoe Kravitz. I do feel like if Zoe brings you home in the goodie bag, you do come out a better person. So that excites me.
Yes.
For these guys.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you at least, I don't know if you're an objectively better person, a more interesting person. She does give them an upgrade you moment.
Very much so.
Yeah. So that was happening. We have a very odd and exciting Oscar race coming up, maybe. Another thing that I was loving that was happening was Emma Stone giving Nosferatu in Begonia. That's still her giving a cunty pose with her calcified bald head. That is one of my most used memes at the moment. There's just something so spiritually complex about just the image. Also, I love that she's playing like a power CEO white woman with like ambiguous implications of the corporate horror she's enacting on the world. Jesse Plemons is also in this movie. I fucking love him. I love everything he's in. I love his weird little face. I love his weird little acting. I think he does everything incredible. He seems like an actual earth angel.
Yeah, I
like
that he and Kirsten Dunst just feel like very normal given how not normal her life has been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She needed that. She really needed that. I'm so fucking glad she has it. They're both such a fucking force in everything.
You know what's a vibe in 2025, by the way? Melancholia.
Yes. Oh, baby. Oh, no. I was about to watch it a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I'm actually too close to a psychotic break for this.
Yeah, when we are more stable, we should maybe watch Melancholia and discuss not right now.
Yeah, no. Once my life's unrelenting series of traumas have subsided, then we're going to dive into that.
I can't be furnishing a new apartment
while
I watch Melancholia.
No,
but
absolutely
after that's done.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even get into what your girl is going through right now.
And you've got other stuff. Right. No, it's a no.
It's a no. It's a hard no. I actually, my therapist would expressly forbid it.
But perhaps soon.
Perhaps soon.
But so, Jesse Plemons is in this with Emma Stone. I don't really know. I haven't really been up on my
Google.
Oh my God,
you have to watch the trailer.
Yeah, I'll watch the trailer.
It looks incredible.
I heard History of Sound is kind of mid, which is a bummer because I was excited about that one.
I know, exactly.
Two of my favorite straight boys who can't stop sucking dick and cock.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. Two of our favorite straggers.
Paul Mescal and Josh O'Connor.
Yeah, exactly. I will say, I think it is kind of a like college football player straggit and a triple gold medal Olympian straggit.
Yeah.
And Josh O'Connor, who is our premier straggit.
God's own country.
God's own country. Uh-huh.
God's own country.
God's own country.
Whose country? God's own.
Riding raw unlubed dick in the middle of a field.
Fat Romanian cock in the sheep fields.
In the sheep fields. Mud laden.
That is a crazy movie.
Throwing absolute hole in the middle of a fucking plane.
They are in the fucking Cotswolds or whatever.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely. Sheeps abound.
It makes Brokeback Mountain look like the Ellen Show. It's crazy.
It does. It's crazy. It's crazy. He's throwing that pussy back.
So check that out.
Yeah,
if you
check
haven't.
That
Great
out.
Great film. It was the first thing I ever saw him in, and then he was fucking everywhere, and I was like, it's that guy.
It's that guy. It's that guy who can do no wrong. Immaculate work. He's our premier straggit. It's not even a contest.
100%. He's the Stanley Tucci of his generation.
He is. He's untouchable. So, Paul Mescal, you're welcome for being graced with Josh O'Connor's Dragon
Stage. He's so hot.
I know. I go in and out on him.
I unfortunately, there's something in, this is the Irish in me.
It is.
There is like a very specific energy that's activated by like his little shorts and his tiny chain and like all of that.
Oh, absolutely. It's
good
it's
old
also,
boy Irish.
I think I am
down the pub vibe.
Yeah, my roster is so laden with bisexuals that I'm kind
that's
of like,
fair.
I'm kind of immune to it at this point.
I don't get that many of those. Yeah. And so for me, they're still alluring because it has kind of like a high school energy that it's like nostalgic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, that's my entire roster.
But that's
roster
your entire,
right now. Yeah.
Your entire Rolodex is bisexual men who look kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I
exactly.
get that.
Exactly. No. So recently, thank God, I have gotten so nuclear hot that I simply have to, I have to like remove some of the chaff from my roster.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. It's a cut period.
It is. No.
There was a hotness bulk and now there's a, you know, it's a cycle.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. So, you know, we have to do some cleansing of the roster. Everyone who's on it now, if you're listening, incredible work.
Well, if you're listening, I mean, obviously you're already.
If you're listening, there's a good chance we fucked.
Not no.
Mwah, love you. See you soon.
Lester of my show, although it's fun to guess which guests I've had sex with.
Yes. Uh-huh. Absolutely. The premier guessing game on Cerebro.
People always try. They send me messages. I'm like, you know, that's intrusive.
Uh-huh. I know. Yeah. Let's maybe rethink that impulse.
But funny.
Another notable moment from it. There's like two real big ones.
From the film festivals.
Yeah, our film festival recap. After the Hunt, which is the newest Luca Guadagnino film with Ayo Edebiri, Julia Roberts, Andrew Garfield, bombs. It had the lowest debut of his career.
That's unfortunate.
I know, it's unfortunate. Essentially, it is like a allegation of sexual assault movie that apparently I didn't read too much into why it bombed, but
I think it's just, it's really talky and it also, I mean, I guess this is a spoiler, but it doesn't tell you whether he's guilty or not.
Yeah.
And I think that that is the point of the movie, and that is interesting, but it's not like Doubt, for example, where like, you know he's
guilty. Exactly. You get a resolution.
Yeah, there's no resolution. And so it's like, is this black woman lying?
Exactly.
Or is this white man a predator? And those are provocative questions.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It is, I do think, a really interesting artistic vein for exploration. I do think you're kind of like morally compelled to like give a sort of resolution on that.
I think that if you're going to cast those actors.
Yeah, exactly. I think you should really recognize.
It's very European of him to not think about this.
Yeah.
It's my first thought.
Yeah,
honestly.
No, absolutely. Uh-huh. It was less European, but also big question mark to spend a significant amount of time nodding to Woody Allen.
See, I liked that because I thought it was him kind of flipping off the idea that I didn't think it was him going, I love Woody Allen so much that I'm doing a Woody Allen homage right here
no,
in my credits.
Oh, no, he literally said that.
It did?
He did, yeah.
I read the interview and that's not how I read it.
Yeah. I think
he loves the movies for sure, but
exactly.
He's also saying like a famous ambiguous predator who is in this
exactly.
world.
I think it was less that and like a nod to his filmography specifically that felt like a real like cheapening of the point that he's trying to
that's
make.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess because I like Guadagnino, I gave him given him a little, like lots of people love Woody Allen movies.
Yeah.
I love Roman Polanski movies. I wouldn't say I'm a Roman Polanski fan.
Absolutely.
Rosemary's Baby still goes harder than almost any other movie that's ever
been absolutely.
Made.
Absolutely.
I guess I was giving him a little credit there because I thought he was intentionally going, here's a great artist whose reputation has been tarnished by these allegations and we can't know if they're true or not and this and that. I thought that that was provocative in an interesting way. But also, if the movie is as unresolved as people are saying, I understand why that might also... You're asking the question. It's provocative to say, well, if we can't know, what does that mean? But why now?
Exactly. Why now?
To what end?
What is like the artistic resonance of that
right
now? It's not like, oh, I fucking hate Luca Guadagnino now, but it raised a big question mark for me because it's like, well, no, in that case, we actually definitely do know.
Well, we know enough.
I know enough facts to know it's really bad.
I'll tell you what, I never saw any Woody Allen movies until college, senior of high school. I guess we watched one in class, Crimes and Misdemeanors, but otherwise, my dad wouldn't bring them into our house because he was like, he married his stepdaughter.
Yeah, no, exactly. Fucking weird.
He was like, absolutely
weird
not.
Weird as shit.
And my dad is like right in that demo. And he was like, absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. No, exactly. Like even in the insinuation that there's like some ambiguity there in that case, I think it's like, it's fucking weird. I think it's a really fucking weird impulse. And it like, it's such a fucking like man thing to do.
Well, that's the thing is it's a very auteur in specific thing to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Yeah. It gave, like, to a much lower degree, like, Lars von Trier vibe.
Well, that's why I brought up Melancholia, because I was looking at this note, and I was thinking about Lars von Trier. I mean, the thing is, like, I like Lars von Trier. Yeah. I think he's also an asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Luca Guadagnino is also kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
That wouldn't
shock.
Like,
exactly.
This kind of auteur often is kind of a dick.
Right, exactly. And I think, like, there's no comparing, like, what Lars von Trier did when he, like, made, like, the Hitler illusion next to Kirsten Dunst.
That was foolish.
Yeah, absolutely. But also,
made
like,
great gifts.
People were, like, comparing, like, Andrew Garfield's reaction to, like, Kirsten Dunst. Number one, like, Andrew Garfield is in, like, a, like, categorically different career position and, like,
very
position
different.
Of, like, influence, security than Kirsten Dunst was at the time. And, like, something... like association with that did leave like a big toxic stain on like the rest of her career that is notable and that she's talked about. And it was like a much more like they're both Lucas is like weird as fuck in my opinion. Lars is like low-key heinous and dark.
I think he's just an edgelord.
Yeah.
He's like one of the original edgelords, and he just said something outrageous to say something outrageous, and it wasn't right.
But I don't need a justification.
I'm
for,
not
like, justifying. Why...
You don't need. I'm not here to justify Lars von Trier
right,
alluding
exactly.
to Hitler.
Thank
I'm just
you.
Saying
yeah.
it was so stupid. But it was just like
we
what
know
are
Lars
you doing?
Von Trier's work. We know like how he approaches cinema. We know like his personality. I don't give a fuck about all that.
Right,
yeah,
man,
it's
I
like a fundamentally really insidious
that
thing
hurt
to
her in a way that Andrew Garfield has only been helped by the controversy
right,
around this film
yeah,
because
exactly.
he got to show himself being a cool guy
right.
as Julia Roberts and Io Adebiri dealt with that fucking Italian reporter.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
Google that.
Yeah, Google that.
We don't have time
Google
for
that,
that but it
yeah.
was crazy.
Exactly. We don't have time for that, but an outpouring of love for Io Adebiri, the People's Princess, for like how firmly...
I do love how every week you crown a new people's princess.
I don't give a fuck. I
no,
have
I just
many.
Love that it's a phrase. That
famously,
is just
there
so
are a lot of princesses.
I love that. Yes. I do. Uh-huh. I do.
The world is laden with princesses, and I'm crowning the ones of the
It's just
people.
That it's the always, which I love. I
yes.
just love that
oh,
every time you really mean it in that moment.
That's called loving women.
Say that.
Say that, bitch. So anyways, shout out to her. Apparently, Julia's phenomenal in it. And then last tiny note, apparently Charlie fucking takes it.
Yeah, Charlie XCX is apparently great in
uh-huh.
this
and
movie.
And Europia, I don't yeah. know how to say this, in Pedo's new movie that premiered at TIFF. She's apparently receiving fucking rave reviews. I'm so excited about this as a Charlie Stan podcast. As
well,
an
she
angel
was
cast.
Good on SNL, which was reassuring.
Yes,
what I'm
I know.
Excited about is she's producing the new Takashi Miike movie so
yeah,
she
I
can
know.
Star in it because she's like the Stan, which
yes.
is so...
The premiere Stan.
Exactly.
It's so exactly Charlie.
I love that.
I love this woman so much. So many good films to look forward to. I am so excited for what's coming up. My list is long as fuck. And movies. We love them.
You wrote Gaylor Sickness.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, as we all know, because it is national news, Swifties, congrats, I guess.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are engaged.
They got engaged. Yep. That's none of my business. That's not in my sphere. That's not in my world. What was, though, is Taylor has a section of her Swiftie fan base called Gaylors who
famously maintain
the height of delusion that is Taylor's lesbian allegations, whose lives were shocked, rocked, and
devastated,
absolutely crumbled by this engagement news. I think it's so fascinating from like a sociological perspective that Gaylors exist because Taylor, in my eye, is one of the like most crystallized epitomes of heterosexuality.
A straight person. The thing is, I could see her having an Elizabeth Gilbert moment.
I can see. Oh, absolutely.
In older life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I could see that, but I get what you mean. The thing is, I get how it started because the Karlie Kloss allegations I
yeah.
kind of bought.
Oh, I, you know what? I thought there was something there. I was like, I simply can't, like, my brain cannot imagine this woman eating box.
Well, the idea of those two women uh-huh. having the blondest, skinniest,
the blondest,
whitest lesbian
the blondest,
sex of all time
boniest
is
sex you've
a
ever
crazy
seen in your
notion.
Life. I think my brain just automatically rejected it.
Yeah,
from
I get
a logistical
that.
Basis alone.
I just saw that Nile Rodgers video that Karlie Kloss did once where she was very sexy dancing to disco. And I was like, uh-huh. maybe she did turn Taylor gay for a minute. Like, I could see it.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
other and there are a few Taylor Swift songs, many actually, that are simply better if you pretend they're about a lesbian. So I get
yeah.
why
you,
this
you
emerged,
get where the seed was planted.
But at a certain point, you gotta give it up,
you
honey.
Gotta give it up. You gotta give it
there
up.
There are actual lesbians who are famous singers.
Thank you. Exactly. We do, and that is a big part of this, is like, we
like
don't have to scrape
now,
through.
Yes. There are real lesbians.
We don't have to scrape for crumbs anymore. And I say we as like also a premier lesbian shipper.
Yeah.
Baby, if you give me an inch, I'm going to take a mile. This is like getting a millimeter and trying to go to the moon.
No, I mean, like, King Princess and Christine Baranski hold hands. As far as I'm concerned, Christine Baranski is the MILF of all time.
Thank
in the
you.
Dyke scene.
Yep.
Even if she says she isn't. Uh-huh. I'm like, no, that's happening. 100%. The Taylor thing, I feel a little bit like it's time to release.
It's really time to release. You know what? Gaylors thought so too, because they crashed out in a...
Huda levels of crash
Huda
out.
Levels
this
of crash
This reached me
out.
And I'm not on yeah. social media anymore, really. No. And it got to me.
They had a psychological collapse. I was seeing like posts. Okay, what if this is all a strategy? She's like, I know I'm crazy. But like, what if she's doing this to just like really like set us up for the beginning of a new album that ends up ending in a break of this, realizing at the door of a heterosexual marriage, she can't do it anymore.
So it's performance art, and she's going to leave him at the altar and be like, I'm a lesbian.
Absolutely, absolutely. Clinical levels of delusion.
That's
happening here.
Here's the thing, guys. Write that book.
Write that
book. That's a great book.
Get on AO3 today.
Yeah, write that on Wattpad and have it turned into a Netflix movie. But, like, that's not happening.
That's
you
not
have a
happening.
Fertile imagination and you should do creative
Absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you're doing creative work right now.
Yes, you are
Very
doing creative work.
Inventive work.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're purely inventing this. You're inventing a thing that does not
it
exist
is a world
in the real
of pure
world.
Pure imagination.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are firmly planted there. Channel that, my love. Channel that, my diva. Or maybe go stand a real lesbian.
But you know what's funny is because we were just talking about how Harry Styles is fucking Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
And that's just like, I mean, that is, I guess, bisexual behavior. But yeah. he's another one where I'm like, it's time to let it go. Mm-hmm. It's just time to let it go.
No, it's like two people who are energetically.
He's a pussy hound.
Yeah, thank you. It's two people who are energetically bisexual who will in no form of this world ever fuck the same sex. So at some point, the fantasy has to die.
At some point, it's like they do have bi for bi energy, but I don't believe that they're doing that.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
you have to release that too, you know?
You have to release that too.
I like the theory that Travis Kelce is also gay, which is the extreme version of this now, where now like a gayler who has to really decide that there's a plan, but also not think of Taylor as a bad person.
Yeah.
He has to be in on it.
Yeah, thank
so
you.
So now there's a conspiracy theory where they're both gay and it's like they're covering it up for their careers. And it's like these are two of the most famous people on earth who would only be more famous if they came out as gay.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly.
He would become the most famous gay man in the world.
Probably. Probably.
So probably not.
Yeah.
But prayers for you.
Help Gaylors in their time of mourning.
Reach out to the Gaylor in your life.
Absolutely.
It's been a tough year for us all, but particularly for Gaylors, I think.
Show them psychology today, connect them with someone, or give them a journal. Tell them write
Journaling
it down.
Is so good and could lead to a lucrative Wattpad film adaptation.
Absolutely. And I want that for them. I also don't care what they do.
But I'd like them to get out of my face.
Thank
so
you.
They should
exactly.
do something.
I, whatever gets you to like make me stop seeing it. Another thing I need to stop seeing is Drake.
Oh.
I need to stop seeing Drake. I don't even want to get like too far into this because it involves two people I fucking hate, Drake and Bobby Altoff, who famously had a weird media bond and then viral fallout in 2003, 2004. Look into it if you want. I don't give that much of a shit. But what I do give a shit about is another notch on the endless belt of hate that I am going to use to beat Drake with. Because they apparently made up. Drake went back on her podcast called Who Gives a Shit. That's not what it's called. I don't give one. Basically, at the end of this interview, Drake called her a BBC girl, Big Black Cock, and then tried to kiss her after her famously commenting, you like move kind of weird. You have like weird boundaries.
So he decided to demonstrate that on
demonstrate that on television, on air, on a very famous podcast. I have talked ad nauseum on so many Connor-related podcasts about how Drake is actually my arch nemesis.
This is a theme, actually. If you go back to Jordan's episode, we could do a supercut
of
every time the discussion pivots to Drake.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. From a place of pure boiling hate. He is my arch nemesis. If there is one person in this world I need to defeat in battle, it's Drake.
That's a good one because he is definitely objectionable, but like, it's not, I don't think you're like in a battle for your soul.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And I will win.
You will win. Like, energetically, I think this is like a level of gross that it makes sense
to get
obsessed with, because it's not so dark that you're going to like lose yourself in the abyss.
Thank you. No, absolutely not.
It's just like, God, I can't fucking stand that guy.
But it's
at all.
Also, it's like he is like a like diametrically opposed force to me, that like as long as he exists, I can never be whole.
Yeah.
Like that's the level it reaches to me. And like also part of that is the light skin reputation is forever in the tank. We are troubling people. Biracial light skins, constantly in it, constantly putting our foot in our mouths, constantly a problem, working overtime to repair the light skin reputation, which is an impossible task. And every day, every single day, Drake opens his mouth and makes it more impossible.
I have no comment on any of those statements, except to say that it is not the official position of this podcast that biracials are a problem.
Thank you.
However,
thank you for that. Yep. Uh-huh.
I get that, because let absolutely. Me tell you, there's a lot of Shonda Fitigoyim out there right now, and I am very embarrassed by them. So
this is coming intracommunally.
That's what I'm saying, is like when it's your own people, it can be extra embarrassing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, like within the Black community, biracials have a specific and very deserved reputation. And I just need Drake and some other people who I'm not going to name right now to stop making it harder for us, because we're already in a PR war.
It isn't helpful.
It's not helpful. It's not helpful.
Ice Spice can only do so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And she's not doing a lot. Zendaya is holding us up on our back. She's Atlas.
Honestly, she really...
She is.
The firmament.
No, I've said this upon her shoulders. I've said this before on the Necra podcast. Go watch it on Cerebro if you haven't. Yeah. Go listen to it. It's actually only audio. I have said this before. The people holding up the weight of the light skin brand are Tracee Ellis Ross and Zendaya. Thank you so much, girls, for your work. We never forget you. You were the only reason we have any brand integrity at this point at all. And we're going to start a meeting soon in the Light Skin Consortium about what to do about the Drake problem.
I want that for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Free me.
Speaking of problems.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Crime Corner first this
do
time.
Do it.
I feel like we can flip them around depending
on
what we
Oh my God, we can
feel.
Toss it back
we can
and
toss
forth.
It back and forth. Actually, because I kind of have two. So let me just do the shorter one and then I can do the more
serious one. How the double dip is turned.
I know, because I was like, you know what? I'm going to start bringing two of everything just in case.
Thank you. Thank you. To even the score.
But this
of my
really
rule
is just one brief thing that people should know about if they don't already, which is the sophisticated malware Gay Femboy. Have you heard about this?
I have, because I told you about it.
Oh, no, somebody else told you about this.
No, did they?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I posted it on Instagram. I thought that's why you wrote it down.
No. This was a topic of discussion in the Cerebro Discord.
Oh my God. Oh yeah.
So the malware Gay Femboy has been targeting businesses around the globe.
Period.
When it compromises your system, and in fact, it causes your computer to repeat the line twinks :3 like a kitty face.
Period.
And that's how you know that you've been gay femboyed.
I love it so much. I love it so much. I want my system to be compromised by the gay femboy.
I will say I've never really been the type of gay to be compromised by gay femboys.
No. That's not your ministry.
No, but I respect them enormously.
Thank you. They're doing pivotal work.
And I really hope they don't try to infect my system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
not.
This is my job. Please.
Please, baby. Baby, I don't think you're who they're
this
targeting, Connor.
This laptop can't be full of twinks.
They're not on your roster. You're not on theirs.
Exactly. And thank God for that.
And thank God for that.
What's the science one this week? Because you've told me that you're excited about science.
I am so fucking excited about this one. You know, as anyone who listened to our debut episode will know, our inaugural science section was a real bummer. I'm sorry, it was on my mind. I had to get it out. Most of the science sections will be more fun and fluffy, including this one that is also good news, especially for so many of my friends. So I call this science section, "That's enough cocaine for you."
I think that could be a recurring feature on this podcast.
You know, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. But I am going to say this is a public episode. I'm not going to say it. But what
Patreon.com/kibitzcast
for the uncut edition of That's Enough Cocaine for You. But what I will say is, look, babe. We all know I'm a party girl. We all know I'm around a lot of party girls. And sometimes party girls party.
Too hard.
Too hard. Which leads me to my next point. Sometimes it is necessary, some would say vital, I would often say vital, that limits, guardrails are put in place to stop our beloved party girls from partying off a cliff. We're going to talk about one potential one that may come in handy down the line today. Researchers have developed a extremely precise new method to stop cocaine addiction in rats. What is really notable about this is that, like, this new development also works in real time. And you'll get a lot of caveats on, like, works in quotes.
Well, it's in trials
this
and whatnot.
This is a very fundamental trial. We're going to give that caveat at the end. But works in real time as cocaine is being done.
Oh, so, like, currently.
Like, truly drawing an iron gate down between bumps.
Like, you're not getting addicted right now.
Thus, that's enough cocaine for you tonight.
It's like a GLP-1 for coke.
Kind of.
I mean, I'm not saying it literally is.
Yeah, no.
In terms of the effect of it mentally.
It works in real time. Works to minimize side effects. So basically, instead of broadly shutting down brain regions that are affected in cocaine addiction, which can cause side effects like low appetite, learning impairment, drowsiness, and movement impairment, researchers have now designed a special synthetic therapy that only targets and deactivates specific brain cells that were activated during a cocaine high. How we have been treating cocaine addiction so far is kind of like taking a giant anime hammer and just slamming it down on the region of the brain that it's involved in. Those regions of the brain also are responsible for reward-seeking behaviors that are, like, truly fundamental for human life, like activity and appetite. Cocaine addiction is driven by changes in that brain's reward systems. Certain neurons, brain cells, become hyperactive during drug use, creating powerful memories that trigger intense cravings and then lead to relapse even after long periods of abstinence. So there has been a longstanding goal in neuroscience to find a way to target only the neurons that encode the cocaine memory while leaving all of the good, in quotes, neurons, the one for, like, healthy basic function of life, completely untouched. So researchers have figured out a way to do this in rats in a very fundamental trial by basically, like, tagging cocaine-related neurons with, like, a genetic code. Also gives them, like, another tag on it that does nothing unless there is another drug that it is administered to it. So that also leads to the potential of it being kind of like a real-time thing where it won't immediately turn off your ability to, like, get high from cocaine, but it can tell you to stop.
It's like, stop doing that right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, stop doing that.
You've had enough.
That's enough cocaine for you. Then it also enables it to, like, flip an on and off switch to the craving associated with cocaine in general.
The noise.
Yeah, the
That's
noise.
Why I made the GLP-1 comparison.
Absolutely.
Even though I'm not saying it's the same kind of drug, but, like,
right.
That.
Totally. You know. Absolutely, yeah. They basically installed a genetic light switch and developed a way to turn that coke craving switch on and off.
That's fucking cool.
It's cool as fuck. The results of this study, it blunted drug seeking, so it dramatically reduced the rats' like motivation to do more cocaine.
I do love that, and I know
oh,
this
coked
is how
out
science
rats.
Works, but the idea that oh. there are a bunch of scientists just oh, sitting around bitch. Watching rats blow fat rails
oh, no,
in their terrarium
oh,
is so
oh,
funny.
Rats, oh, and I love the scene of this study where they have to have been doing cocaine for a minute.
Yeah, no, these
like,
have to
because
be some
they have
serious,
to test if they,
gapped
like,
out rats.
They have to see them, like, self-administer more.
This has to be a yayo habit of, like, a year in order to get any results.
The rats have had to do multiple lines at this point.
Yes. Well, and they have to be habitual users.
Absolutely. So, like, no, they're going out on the weekends in rat cage number 5. they're getting a table and they're doing lines.
There's that sign over the top of the cage that says, one rat at a time, please.
Absolutely. Imagine a little rat bouncer.
He's got big shoulders. He's security heavy.
Oh my God. Can you imagine how packed that rat bathroom is?
They've got such long noses.
They
could do so much coke.
And you know they're talking about that. Uh-huh. You know they're talking. And you know there's a rat with like, who they call Hoover, with an especially long nose.
And they're
nose.
Just like, and it's so hypocritical because it's like.
Like, don't let him know we have a bag.
It's like, Susan, we all have long noses. It's like, he's different.
He's different. No, trust me.
That's what? Snoop.
Wait, no, wait till you see him. Wait till you see him. It works. Let me tell you, Suze.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
So yeah, it worked. It blunted the drug seeking. They self-administered cocaine dramatically less to not at all. It was highly specific to those cells, which is amazing. The effect was long lasting. So like the switch once installed is permanent, meaning it can be used even after a long period of like abstinence. You can be able to flip it again for a long time. This also opens up a ton of avenues for this to be used theoretically for other psychiatric disorders that are driven by memory circuits like cocaine is. One notable example is like PTSD.
Right, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a ton of therapeutic horizon here. One that I really love is like, if you've known anyone going through addiction, it really, really minimizes the side effects of it. Another one is like, we all know, you don't want to eat on cocaine, but also a lot of drugs that treat cocaine addiction also impair appetite. Because again, giant hammer to that section of the brain. So it can lead to like a more sustainable recovery for people who are in cocaine addiction. Because
right,
like
because
a big thing
is
like, I don't
want to
eat now
some
either.
Of those,
part
right.
of the thing is I'm really skinny. The like side effects are that I also don't want to eat. What's the point?
Right. It's like, well, I'm not going to gain any weight.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be.
I'm not getting any weight back now.
Yeah.
And before I was on cocaine.
And so. Before I was eating in a bad, disordered way.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
This is
it's
not
like,
great.
Well, if I'm not going to eat either way, I'd much rather be doing cocaine. So, yeah, much less potential for that now. And I am just so excited about the future potential of this scientifically. Again, this is fundamental research in neuroscience models.
Very early days.
Very early days. And it would take a lot of development for this to be like usable in any kind of
even
like immediate
testable
fashion.
In humans.
Yeah. Testable, but especially usable in an immediate fashion in humans where it's like best use case could come. But I truly cannot wait for a version of this where I can give someone a pill at afters when they need to
stop it
doing coke.
It's 5 a.m.
Exactly. There's specific people on my list who I am like, I'm bringing it just for you.
You need just
you're
one of
done.
These.
Just
you're
one
done. Of these because you're done.
You're
done.
Absolutely.
It's enough. It's
and
enough
stop
now.
Asking me about it.
It's enough.
It's enough. It's enough for you. That's enough cocaine for you guys. this is my favorite science section I've ever done.
Famously, we'll do two. So we better keep the averages high.
Don't bring my high down.
I'm not.
Don't be this.
I'll have these pills on hand. It's for the rats at this juncture. So. Okay, so I want to talk about a little crime that took place a decade ago in Florida. It's actually not a little crime. It was kind of a big deal crime.
Yeah, it sounds like it from what I can see.
Yeah. Well, I just mean it was in the news. So 10 years ago, law professor Dan Markle was murdered in his driveway, execution style.
Oh, fuck.
It was pretty brutal. It was very odd. He was a well-respected law professor and just killed in his car after dropping off his kids.
Jesus Christ.
His wife, Wendy Adelson, is a lawyer, a child advocate, also a professor. They were teaching together in Tallahassee and were going through a very acrimonious divorce that began after Wendy went home to visit her parents in Boca Raton. Mm-hmm. Florida crime is so common that it's a meme, mm-hmm. right? Florida man or
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely, yeah. Florida and crime is like Australia and nightmarish animals.
Right. Yeah. It's just like it's part of the ecosystem.
It's part of the ecosystem, part of the brand.
But this caught my eye because Boca Raton is a very specific part of Florida.
It is, absolutely.
For the listeners, if you're not familiar, they call it the sixth borough because it's basically where every Jew from New York moves when they retire.
Yeah.
It's very Jewish and Italian. Ariana Grande is from Boca Raton.
Uh-huh, yeah. My Dutch Jewish grandma famously wanted to move there.
And she would have thrived.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There were many familial discussions about it. It does feel like there is like a like genetic cultural calling.
My parents spend the winter in Boca Raton.
I bet they do. I know they do.
When my mother got her 23andMe back and she was 8% Jewish, she said, "That's my right foot," and it walked me right to Boca Raton.
I bet she does. No, there is a spiritual Jewish
it's a pull.
Siren
it's
call.
It's a pull to There's South a pull. Florida, yeah. to that side, to the east side of
you
South Florida.
You reach a certain call, you reach a certain age, and you hear the siren call.
And this is a very prominent Jewish family at the center of this drama. Like, a classy family of lawyers. I just found this captivating because it's not what I think of when I think of, like, Florida murder.
Yeah, okay.
2 years after Dan was murdered, Wendy went on a podcast.
Uh-huh.
She was in a writing class, and the writing class had a podcast where they talked about stuff. And I mean, you know, she's writing about her own life. And, well, her husband was murdered in the middle of their contentious divorce. That would be something that would be really destabilizing. And, of course, you would write about it.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So on the podcast, she talked about finding out that her husband, her estranged husband, had been killed. Mm-hmm. I only found out this information when the police picked me up from a lunch date I was having with two girlfriends and insisted I come with them back to the station and then interrogated me for 8 straight hours because it's usually the ex-wife. He died violently and young and likely at the hands of a professional killer, and the media had a field day in response. I turned on the TV to find photos of my children with Nancy Grace, George Stephanopoulos saying my name in reference to our acrimonious divorce, and a picture my friend took when I was her maid of honor showed as evidence of why I should be treated as a murder suspect and not the mother of two fatherless boys. So Wendy's mom was just sentenced to life in prison for organizing the hit.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Donna Adelson.
Yep.
Wanted her grandchildren to move back down to Boca Raton to be with her. And the judge in the divorce proceedings said they couldn't leave Tallahassee. So Donna kind of Livia Sopranoed into conversation with her son, who then asked his ex-girlfriend, "Do you know anyone who could kill this guy?"
I'm screaming.
And she was like, "Oh, yeah."
This story, I needed to walk to the fan and cool my face for a second.
It has everything. This is such a specifically, and my mother isn't Jewish, so to other Jewish people, I'm in no way impugning a Jewish mother. I think Jewish mothers make the world go round. But
period.
They met on J-Date.
Yes. Yeah.
They met on J-Date, and his mother-in-law put him to death. Hired a Latino to execute him in his driveway.
This is... So?
That's Jewish Florida crime.
I was going to say, thank you for that. That is, now everything clicks.
My parents spend the winter down in Boca Raton. I spend a lot of time in Boca Raton.
It's dead serious about Boca.
I love Boca, and this is exactly the 2E's murder that would take place
absolutely,
in a Boca Raton related...
Like, absolutely.
Oh, she asked her son to take care of it, maybe. He's also going to prison, by the way.
I would hope so.
So are the ex-girlfriend and her friend, who maybe her current boyfriend, I forget, who killed the guy. They're all going to prison.
I would hope
so. It's Donna who's really been in the news because this woman, it's crazy just sort of watching this old woman sit there and just kind of be like, "Your friend's mom."
Yeah, yep, yep.
Except she was like stone cold sociopathic murderess.
Oh, absolutely. Murderess. She said, "Okay, well, simply not an option."
Delegated it through her son, which is also just so specifically
funny. Evil and funny.
It's just, it's very Boca.
It's so Boca. the premier Boca crime.
it's really incredible. Wendy thus far has escaped any attention. She claims she had nothing to do with it, but she was named by the prosecutors as a conspirator. Ooh. So we'll see if anything results. But I think bold to go on that podcast and be like,
I know.
Why would they ever think it was me when your family killed him?
Yeah, thank you. Yep, yep.
And you did then immediately move back to Boca with the kids.
Yep, sure. I'm sure. I mean, that's why you did it.
That is why they did it, certainly. Why, yeah. And it does seem like you were on board, at least, with that part of the plan.
I can't imagine a world where you're not. I can't imagine it.
I mean, even if you didn't know they were going to kill him, you sure did move back home real fast.
And you knew he was gone. And you knew you wanted to go to Boca before.
You asked the judge about it.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Sure did.
I might not ask the judge about it before I hired someone
Sounds
to kill
like you
him
really wanted to go to Boca, babe.
Because that is conspicuous to me. But Wendy's so far gotten away scot-free, so you know what? Maybe she will be laughing all the way to the bank. I have no idea.
Who knows? Who knows?
Got the kids and your psycho mothers in prison for life.
I do love the visual of, like, bags are packed to Boca in the car at the funeral. It's like, well, okay, did you remember my sunscreen?
This is just such a class privilege thing that's fascinating to me. Yep. Like, I mean, just as someone who, I grew up in Westchester, as someone who comes from this kind of environment.
This sphere.
Yeah. It's just really interesting to see a woman like this be told that she's been found guilty of first degree murder.
Yeah.
It's just not something I've really ever seen.
No, absolutely.
Especially women in crime, when it's like a murder, it's often, they make a spectacle of like Eileen Wuornos. Like, it's often the working class, like cops is all about that, right?
Oh, later, absolutely.
And when it's someone rich like this, it's usually a white collar crime. It's some financial thing. It's Ruth Madoff having to testify about her husband. It's that kind of thing.
Right.
This is like a nasty crime.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the judge says on the charge of first degree murder, the jury finds the defendant guilty. And she said, oh.
I bet she did.
And then
I
started crying. But the oh, as though she really somehow thought she was
positive she did. I'm positive she's like, sorry, what was
she
that?
She had just had an argument with the judge and elected not to testify in her own defense. It was going badly.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. I'm sure.
But she still went, oh.
I'm sorry. Wait.
What?
Okay, wait, this sounds like I'm kind of going to get repercussions for
this. This sounds like...
Are you sure?
You said...
Are you sure you read that right?
Guilty.
Uh-huh. I don't... Sorry, can we talk over here for a second?
She was in shock. And shock. I get that. I mean, you were just told you're going to prison for life. I get that, but like...
Yeah, absolutely.
But she did really seem like she did not think that was going to happen.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh.
If
I
were her, I would have been pretty
it.
Confident that was where this was going.
No, I...
By this point.
Look, she lives in a world where she can toss a match in the wind, and that match will never blow back to her side of the fence. I imagine she's shocked when it does and sets her own lawn on fire.
This is something special.
Uh-huh.
So RIP Daniel Markle, because this is horrible.
Yeah.
But your mother-in-law who had you killed is kind of iconic in a bad way.
Yeah, iconic in a bad way.
I mean, you'll be remembered. Honestly, when they make the TV miniseries of this with like Brian Greenberg as this guy.
I will be seated.
It's going to kill.
I bet. No pun intended.
With that, let's get into our songs of the moment.
A song or a song?
I'm allowing you to bring two if you bring two.
Thank you so much. Look, my loves, I will bring whatever number of songs I need to bring to capture the moment that I'm in.
You know, if we do go weekly, that's only more opportunities to bring songs.
Absolutely. Well, touche.
I'm just putting it out there.
Noted. Look at your work. Look at your...
Just thinking. You wouldn't have to double up if we didn't double up the week.
You're cooking a little bit.
I'm cooking a little bit.
I'm filing that away. You ate that one thing. You eat many things, baby.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
say
my
that.
My songs...
Put that on my Yelp.
Plural. I will. You eat many... Oh, no. Anyways, my songs... plural of the moment are Demi Lovato related, which are words I never thought I was going to say.
Really?
And I know. And let me hear
I don't know your Demi-stery.
I know. My Demi-stery. I love that so much. Well, this is the beginning of my Demi-stery.
Oh,
look, I know Demi Lovato. I have followed her. I have never, other than Cool for the Summer,
everybody. I mean, that was such a fucking banger.
It was. It's an objective banger. It lives in so many of my playlists.
That was a song of the fucking summer. I'll tell you what,
bitch. I was cool for the summer.
I'm still cool for the summer. Baby. All these years later.
Oh, baby, I'm still in the icebox. No. So other than that, I couldn't name prior to this moment another Demi song. I never needed to. I simply have never cared that much.
That's so interesting. I love Demi, so I will give you some deep cuts that are good.
Okay. I may listen to them.
You don't have to, okay. But if you want
them. Thank you. Send them to me. I may listen to them in a moment where I'm feeling exploratory. But so yeah, I followed her. I've never been in the Demi sphere, but I'm always like, she seems interesting. She seems fun. She seems cool. Followed all Demi news. I like the girl. Recently, she has just become so much more endearing to me over time. I don't know what it is. I don't know what changed. It's probably the like exiting of like the she-they era.
Well, yeah, she had a non-binary era.
That
was, I think, frustrating to many non-binary and trans people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was a little bit confusing.
It was confusing. It was beguiling. And you know what? As we all know from any, as a non-binary person, you know what? I just think like a lot of things in the non-binary sphere are annoying. I think a lot of non-binary people are annoying. And that doesn't mean it's not genuine. I just think non-binary people sphere can be annoying sometimes in an intracommunal way. I am talking from the inside.
She's calling in.
And I would say the really specific way that she went about embracing that identity at the time felt very non-binary in that very specific way. So it read as authentic to me is like, you're doing a
but
lot
annoying.
Right now. But annoying. I'm like, you're doing a lot right now, which is a very non-binary trait.
But I did like when she pulled out basically the Jessie J of like, oops, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, which I
appreciate when someone just does that.
Absolutely.
She's like, I thought about it and actually I think I'm just a girl.
Yeah. Which is completely fair.
Well, that's how this is an exploration.
It's an exploration. Exactly.
Lorde came to the same conclusion, but she wrote a whole album about it. And guess what? The album's good.
Right. And it's like, also just for like anyone who like would get it in their little heads to like give any pushback. This is like completely fundamentally different from a like detransition situation
for many reasons.
But also like generally, if you want to test out a moan, think it's fine. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's not. In this situation, if you want to see, like, am I non-binary? Doesn't it fit? Never mind. Was wrong.
This was mostly just changing the pronoun.
Exactly.
She didn't do anything. Yeah.
She did. Well, I don't know. For a minute.
The style changed a bit. Yes.
No. The image was very non-binary
for
a minute, which is not a compliment.
But it was a little deviant art.
It was Steven Universe core.
It was very Steven Universe Pride.
Again, I've said this before, not my community. Love and light to you.
We're at Ketamine Pride, not Steven Universe Pride.
Yeah, thank you.
As the Tumblr post goes.
Period.
Yeah, there's two prides. Which one are you at?
Exactly. We're not
they
at the same
They don't cross
one,
over
babe.
Well.
Exactly. Now, famously, if you've ever tried to cross over into my situation, we are not the same, and that is okay.
Well, the ultimate crossover of those prides is when you are on my X-Men podcast.
Literally.
But the thing is, my X-Men podcast is, of all X-Men podcasts, the most Ketamine Pride.
Absolutely. No, it is. It is.
And I'm not saying that as a brag. It's just I'm not wired in a Steven Universe way.
Yeah,
I'm just
no,
not.
Exactly. It's simply we live in
love and light. Like, no disrespect.
We live in two different adjacent communities.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is
we're
okay.
In community, but not in community.
And you know what? When I stop by to visit your Steven Universe town, I love you. Okay? But I'm going back home after.
Tons of support, but it's not where I live.
It's not where I live. It's not where my house is.
It's just not.
It's simply not.
That was, I would say, my off period with Demi. Not because I don't like non-binary people, obviously, but because she was being really fucking annoying.
Yeah. No, she was being really fucking annoying, which is a non-binary thing
to
do.
She had that fight with the frozen yogurt store at that time.
Yep. Exactly. Again, very non-binary thing to do.
So, you know, there's a lot going on. No, but I've always really loved her. I was actually at, this is just funny thinking about podcasts, but like I was at a Who Weekly live show when she had her heroin overdose.
Uh-huh.
And we were all just kind of like celebrity gossip interested people sitting around waiting for the show to start, reading our phones because Demi Lovato was like maybe going to die. It was crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My thing with her is I think that of all besides Ariana Grande, who's just different.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Of all the white pop girls, she is the voice in her generation.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
She has it. Like, you know, Miley Cyrus is a great singer, et cetera. I don't think pound for pound that really any of those girls can sing like Demi Lovato.
Oh, absolutely. Her being a vocal champion was never in debate for me.
She has that one performance of Stone Cold at the Women in Music.
I have seen that
Billboard
one.
That is
God,
just
chill inducing.
And that was when she was like really going through it with her addiction also. Uh-huh. And it, she and Ariana had a little bit of a Mariah and Whitney thing going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Similarly, like different voices, can't really compare them, but both really incredible.
Exactly.
And one of them is very, very troubled.
Exactly.
And you can see it happening.
Yes. Real, like, it's exactly that. Very different dynamics because neither of them are black.
Right. But.
But like vocally, in terms of being in the public eye, in terms of like that specific duality, very that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I am so excited that Demi now in like this era of her music and in her life lives in a sphere that like where our spheres are touching. We're actually kind of like the Venn diagram is now a circle.
Yeah.
Like, no, she's moved over to Jordan's Cunt Palace.
I love the album cover.
I fucking love the album cover. I've loved the single covers and we'll just name it. Now she's cunty. And I'm like, let's get into it, Demi.
Yep.
Demi, come here. Well, this is, well, now you're in town.
Yes. And I mean, like, Cool for the Summer was her first real cunty adjacent
moment. It was. And that's why my ears pinged up.
And well, no, it's that, and then she pivoted directly into the non-binary crisis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then now and she's, like, I think she got, I actually think what happened is she got so cunty for a summer that she had a gender identity crisis.
Yes. No, many such cases.
And then was like, many such cases. I'm not a woman at all. And then was like, wait, no, it's, I am. And it's okay to be cunty.
I will say, I've seen that same pipeline happen in at least 20 of my friends, men and women.
I went to Oberlin.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Exactly. Especially with the bitches I hang out with. Sometimes a gay boy or a straight girl gets so cunty, they become non-binary for a minute.
For like a year, and then they're over it.
For 3 months to a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many such cases. I love all of those cases. It's like, well, obviously that's the next step.
Yeah.
It's a very understandable next place to go
but
to.
But it does feel like her in the now. Uh-huh. And gender evolves over your life.
Absolutely.
In the now, I do think that this very comfortable cunty cis woman place is a really good place for her.
It's a really good place for her. It feels really organic in a way that
finally feels like an adult. She's been so stunted in that child star way. And it feels like she's found herself in a nice way. Herself.
And it's like, it's optically obvious. It's like sonically obvious. It's vocally obvious in a way that like I'm really happy for her because this feels like authentic. It feels organic. It doesn't feel forced, which like Cruel for the Summer era, I was like, okay, I'm glad for this direction. Now it's like coming into like the things I engage with. But I'm like, it feels like you're pushing a little bit, and that's okay. We gotta push until we can run.
Right.
All of that to say, I am so into this new era, and Fast and Here All Night have been blowing down the walls of my home. It's like hitting me in like a very perfect timing right now. I will say, thank God for songs. Thank God for songs.
This is why these segments are so fun for us, because I'm a lot like you in that when I am going through it, I need to be alone with a playlist.
Absolutely. I need to be alone through a playlist. I like find like so much mental health work in just sisterhood and understanding with the song. And we are like surrounded by like such good fucking pop stars and songwriters right now.
Here All Night is really good. It's produced by Leland, who's always really good.
Yes. Oh, fucking love Leland. But yeah, so like now, as I said, going through a breakup. Now I'm in like that breakup stage. Okay, like mourning period's done. There's always still a little bit there, but like the big chunk of that work has been done. And we're coming out the
other side.
Yeah,
we've stages processed. Of grief.
There's nothing new to learn there. We're coming out the other door, and that door leads to the club.
Jordan did not time this breakup for the launch of this podcast, but it is going to create a lot of incredible content.
Absolutely.
So I'm grateful
absolutely
for the timing.
You know what? You know what? Best thing that man has ever given me. Anyways, so yeah, I have very much been out the other door into the club. in that moment, I already been listening to it like when I was getting ready to go out, but it is like picked up in frequency Fast has a ton. It's just such a pure club anthem. I went to a party called Loose that my love Rob Aquino throws. If you're in LA and you're gay, go
to Loose.
It's such a
fucking
banger.
You know, I've actually
banger.
Never been.
You've never been? We're going to go together.
I've never been here when it, like, I just, oh, it hasn't worked out, but
it
I would
happens,
love to
like,
go.
Like every other week. We'll go to
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
I fucking love Loose. It's a blast. Rob throws a great fucking banger of a party. Go if you're here. But Demi Lovato, in a like clip that went viral, like showed up to like kind of club girl Charlie style, perform, play the song, dance a little bit to it, see the faggots.
As she should.
And she just looked so cunty. Like being there after I had already been playing
well,
that
she's
song
always been here
ground.
For us.
Yeah.
Which is
oh,
something
absolutely.
I've always really appreciated about her is that she, in that like sort of Kylie Minogue way, was always
absolutely.
Like, my fans are
gay
men, and I know
absolutely.
That.
Exactly. And I stand behind him.
Yeah.
Ten toes. Exactly. And it was just like such a perfect scene for that, getting to see her IRL in that moment. And it's like, as I've been like actively feeling like now this is a like Demi that can like live on my Spotify every day. It was just so beautiful. And then she just released last weekend, I think, Here All Night.
Mm-hmm. Begging for the bass till it's hitting me right. Sweating on the dance.
Bitch, have I been playing the breaks
it's
off
really
that
good.
Song. It's so fucking good. It is like a breakup dance single. And it has just hit me in the right way at the right time. I have danced to it out. I danced to it in my living room.
Leland is like Ali X for me. And they work together a lot, actually.
Yeah.
But like when you see one of them credited as a songwriter or producer on someone else's track,
yeah.
You know it's about to go crazy.
Period. Period. Leland doesn't miss.
He does not miss.
And I will say something else that doesn't miss. Coming out of a breakup and dancing to Here All Night with new hot boys will fix you.
That is really true.
Period. Uh-huh.
You know what really felt healing was we went to see Chase Icon and Miss Madeline.
Period. Period.
That was incredible.
Uh-huh.
Girls, come on the pod.
Girls, come on the pod. Absolutely.
We'd love to have you.
Absolutely. Trust me, we're making moves.
But no, they were so incredible.
They're so fucking incredible. Both of them killed it.
I didn't know Miss Madeline until this EP, and now I've had that album on like repeat.
Oh, absolutely.
The beats are crazy.
The beats are fucking crazy.
She's only 23.
I know. When she did her like solo set at that concert, I was gagged.
I couldn't believe how good she was.
And she was like, she sounded like pristine. I was so
fucking impressed. Well, and she can really dance.
She really can. She really can. Body crazy.
Like, I knew she was a Britney-inspired kind of pop artist, but I didn't know that she could like dance.
Absolutely. Like Miss Madeline, watch out for her because
she's on the
run. I'm very excited.
So tall. Also.
I know. Absolutely.
Willowy.
And we got to dance with like hot boys at like Chase Icon.
It was fun.
And Miss Madeline. It
and
was
with
a blast.
Emily, shouts to Emily.
Shout
out
to Emily, my baby, my sister. My
I hadn't
sister.
Seen her since your birthday. So it was nice
I know.
To see her.
Emily, shout out. I'm giving you a kiss from here.
My song, though, it's funny. So I have just been listening to a lot of Miss Madeline, but I had just put their song last week. So I was like, let me go a little different. And I thought about a couple options, but this one I thought you would get a kick out of. It's It Girl by Jade.
Oh, bitch. It was close to mine. It was very close to my pick.
So Jade Thirlwall, formerly of Little Mix. Jordan is a big fan.
Huge, huge fan. Another ground floor situation for
me. Yeah, I always enjoyed Little Mix, like sort of from afar. I mean, always enjoy a British girl group moment. And I thought that of them, she and Perry were clearly the ones to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Jessie Nelson had that single that was truly incredible in its way.
Uh-huh.
But
Yeah, incredible.
Like
Not credible.
Not credible.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, absolutely. R.I.P.
But, you know, iconic to me, and uh-huh. especially crazy now with the sample. Like, truly crazy. That's one of the craziest songs ever recorded.
Yeah. Like, legitimately insane.
Like, truly insane.
Yeah. Mental illness.
But leaving her aside, and the other one, Leanne, she seems nice. Uh-huh. Nothing bad to say about her.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Love her. I hope I get something from her. I'm, like, really... I'd, like, be really interested to,
but
like, see her do her
But I didn't know that
thing.
Jade had it like this.
Oh,
and
baby.
You've been on this train for a while, and so uh-huh. I listened to the singles, or the first Angel of My Dreams and all that anyway, and I was like, okay, this is good. This is really good.
Uh-huh.
But the album, she's an album artist.
Of course she's a fucking album artist.
But that's interesting. Yeah. To come out of a girl group and then pivot like that.
Absolutely.
Is interesting.
To, like, come out with such, like, a strong... position on your music, to come out with, like, such a distinctive...
And a range.
Uh-huh. And a range.
There's a lot of different sounds on this record.
Oh, absolutely. A, like, really broad range, and I think, like, clarified and fresh artistic vision, visually and sonically, for your work. Like, Angel of My Dreams was doing, like, shit on that track that I never heard. It felt like... the best pleasant surprise I could ever ask
It
for.
Reminds me of Nicola Roberts' solo album,
uh-huh.
which was such a shocker. I still love that album. And it's crazy to me that she hasn't done another one. I mean, maybe it just wasn't a big hit. Or she's on the West End and stuff. She does theater. But that album was so great. And I never thought that, like, the redhead from Girls Aloud would do an album like that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting when you see someone step out from a group setting and uh-huh. then... they're really iconoclastic in an interesting way.
Absolutely.
That's not what the machine... I mean, she was put in a girl group on The X Factor.
Exactly.
She was a reality
exactly.
show band.
Yes.
It's really cool to see that evolve into someone who's really artistically curious and making
absolutely.
A lot of cool art.
And already, like, having such a strong and singular artistic identity, that is one of my favorite things in the world. And I think Jade is such, like, a pivotal example of that. And I love that you pick It Girl, because you know my song.
Throw me them roses. Well, let's just show this, baby. Won't sugarcoat it. You make me feel safe. I'm not your thing. I'm not your baby doll. No puppet on a string. This bitch can't be controlled.
It's kind of an address to her own fans,
yep.
which I like,
uh-huh.
along the lines of What You Think About Me by Charlie XCX, which is another song that I really like.
Uh-huh.
Because stan culture is insane.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, it's fully
yep.
crazy.
Uh-huh.
And the idea of having that from teenage years,
yeah.
I think she was a teenager
yep.
when
mm-hmm.
they formed that band.
Yep.
I can't imagine how that would warp your entire life.
Oh, can't be good. Can't be
that
good.
That all of these people who you have never met, millions of them around the
mm-hmm.
world, are obsessed with everything you do
yeah.
and have a lot to say about it.
Uh-huh.
And do it constantly on the internet all day long.
Yeah. And I think, like, so many songs on this album, like Angel of My Dreams also touches on that.
Well, the album's called It Showbiz, Baby.
Exactly.
Like,
it's a
concept album. But
exactly.
this song is about the entitlement
uh-huh,
that
absolutely.
The fans feel.
Yeah.
And it's framed through the analogy of, like, a bad relationship.
Exactly.
But it's really, I thought it was bold
uh-huh.
as sort of like a fuck you to some of her
absolutely.
Own fans.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But also, like, fuck those fans.
No.
They're obnoxious.
Absolutely. And I think it is, like, I think it is really symbolic of this era of women in music that we're entering, because I felt, like, really similar to the Chapel Roan of it all.
It reminded me of the Chapel
yes,
Roan controversy.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Last,
which wasn't to me. I was like...
No, I agreed with
I
her.
Was like, yeah, no, finally someone hit him. Someone hit him a little bit.
They are acting
because
weird.
These bitches are being crazy. In your face. In your face.
And just because she's a woman doesn't mean that you get to treat her like an object.
Absolutely. And I think, like, specifically, I mean, most women artists, their fan base is, like, majority gay. But, like, specifically in a case like Chapel and Jade, where it is predominantly vast majority gay, especially white gay fans.
Yeah.
Are some of the most entitled.
Absolutely. It's
absolutely.
Like, we created you, so
uh-huh.
we get to make you, we get to
absolutely.
Treat you any way we want,
we
and you have
you,
to dance
so we
to
are.
Our tune.
In a way that is, like, obviously rooted in, like, male misogyny.
Of course,
that they
that's
are
what
not
I'm, yeah, no, but
in.
It's, it,
yeah.
But because we're gay, there's this thought of like, well, it's not the same. And it's like, it can be totally the
absolutely
same thing, though.
When objectively what you're doing in a not subtle way is talking about a woman like a possession. A woman you've never met, framing it as she owes you something.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about this, but I will be saying it for Dark Horse Comics next year.
Period. Period, as you should. say it and make money off it.
That's the, I mean...
That's the goal, baby.
That's the goal always, really.
Period.
But no, I mean, I'm particularly fascinated always by the Judy Garland phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
Like the way that gay men identify with women, particularly in years past when there were no famous gay men who were role models. You know, you had to see yourself in these female characters and in these female figures, because celebrities are sort of characters in their own. You don't know the person.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
The fascination with the woman who's a fucking wreck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the way that that's sympathetic, but also parasitic.
Absolutely, yes.
Like, you identify with her because I'm also suffering, but you're also consuming this woman's suffering because it makes you feel better.
Absolutely.
So there's
And, like, adding to it, like, there is, like, a very adoring kind of cannibalism that happens.
Yes, yeah. And Yeah, it's something that it's a
deep vein.
It's a thing I'm very interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a thing I'm very interested to read.
Is kind of her saying, "Well, fuck you for that."
Absolutely, and
I like
should.
That.
Say it again. Hit him again. Hit him for me.
Doesn't hurt that it's a great song. So
period.
Great album. Check out the whole album. Honestly, absolutely. She really. I was like, wow, album artist. Okay, look at you.
Period. Go Jade. Stan Jade. Be normal about it, or else.
I almost put down House Tour, but I feel like that was every faggot song of the week.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But Sabrina Carpenter's House Tour, I have been radicalized. Uh-huh. I am a full Carpenter bee myself now. But this album is so good.
Absolutely.
Do you want the house tour? I could take it to the first, second, third floor. And I promise, man, that this is a metaphor. I just want you to come inside. Baby, what's mine is now yours.
Dancing to House Tour with my friend Cole in the living room, pure, pure euphoria.
Well, he's a tall house.
Uh-huh.
I just met him, and I hadn't met him before. He's so tall.
He's a tall boy. But like, as we've talked about, Sabrina is the queen of, I hate men, but I'm so horny.
Yes.
Yes.
This is so funny because this is what Lana does for me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Their projects, I think, are actually very similar.
They
Sabrina's
are.
And
they
Lana's
are.
Projects. But
yeah,
hers,
exactly.
She, the difference is that Lana is like deeply depressed.
Yes.
And I don't think that Sabrina is.
Sabrina is not.
Sabrina's
exactly.
having a ball.
Sabrina's having a ball, which is why she's my artist.
That's why I'm saying,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I think I get why this resonates.
Oh, Sabrina is the artist for me. Just like tonally. We live in the same space. We live in the same spirit. Like,
she really doesn't give a fuck.
She really doesn't give a fuck.
And I find that so
absolutely.
Exciting about
and
her.
And it's like she doesn't give a fuck, but she also like feels differently. Her like whole kind of like project thesis towards men is like, why the fuck are you doing this to me?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Why you are you talking to me right now? Why are you talking to me right
why
now?
Why the fuck are you talking to me right
why
now?
Why the fuck are you talking to me right now?
It's like... Like,
but also,
what is going on?
I want to talk
there?
To you, unfortunately.
Exactly, exactly. Don't make me hate you. Like, the point of please, please, please. And this is like Short and Sweet was this in so many ways, too. But Man's Best Friend is like the perfect title because it is, for me, the supreme man hater, man lover anthem. I fucking can't stand that I like you people because you act crazy
all the time
and you're evil.
And you treat me like a dog.
You treat me like a fucking dog. You're treating me like a fucking dog. What is wrong with you? I am also so horny, so it's really inconvenient for you to be acting like
it's
this.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
This is an unfortunate situation for me.
Absolutely.
There's and I'm like, going to give you a whole album about it. Nobody's Son is also...
Nobody's Son
that's
is
my
like
other,
one of my
like,
top... My Man on Willpower, singular song.
It's a great album.
Singular song.
So good.
My Man's in Touch with His Emotions. My Man Won't Touch Me with a 7-foot pole. Incredible line. Goodbye. Ooh, that one hit me.
Well,
like
that...
A...
Yeah, that's that's David.
Uh-huh.
That's
okay.
Me. That's me. That's Man of the Year. And when that Lord album hit, like a week after I quit drinking, and I'm like...
Oh, yeah.
Well... Uh-huh. Here I am. Yeah. That's very much this album hitting at this moment for you.
Oh, baby. Oh, goodbye.
You and Goodbye probably spent some time together.
Oh, baby. Baby. Goodbye crashed into my house like an asteroid.
It landed on you like the Wicked Witch of the East. Like uh-huh. you were oh, feet bitch. Poking out.
Uh-huh. But like the best asteroid that was like, let me help you. Let me give you, let me put words to this.
Yeah.
Which is goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sayonara.
Yeah, no, I'm so
we're done,
done
here.
I love that line that she draws between like, you guys are fucking evil. How dare you treat me like this? And I love love. I love love. I don't want to be this mad.
And why did you do that?
Why do you keep acting like this? I love a lover girl and am a lover girl who doesn't take shit. It makes life so hard.
I just want to be a... Sorry.
Period.
Period. Moment.
So thank you, Sabrina. I'm kind of like... exiting the daily listen of this album because it's like, thank you for being there in my period.
Yeah, sometimes
of
you need it for a moment.
Exactly. And it came at,
and then you can revisit at another time, but you needed it. You needed to like really lock in for a
when
second.
When the next man fucks me over, I'll be right back.
Yeah. And now you need kind of a break because it's emotionally difficult.
Oh, but it's also, it's like, thank you, Sabrina. We just did that very important work together. Now I'm going on a date and we're going to the club.
Exactly.
Amen, bitch.
You're thriving, honey.
You're thriving. We are thriving, baby.
We love to thrive.
We love to thrive. Please let us.
If you would like to help us thrive, please go to patreon.com/kibitzcast and check out the Kitty Bitty exclusive bonus episodes you can only find there. Right now, we're going to give you a sneak peek of last week's Kitty Bitty on Elizabeth Gilbert's Wild Ride. She says, Rye had been clean from heroin for more than a decade, but had started drinking occasionally a few years earlier. Suddenly, in our libertine frenzy, we were drinking a lot. They were also using a ton of Xanax and Ambien because they were so stressed out. And it seems like their position was, as long as it's not cocaine or heroin, it's fine.
Uh-huh. See how long that lasts.
Because then a friend of theirs gives them like a crate of shrooms and MDMA to like help them deal with the traumatic experience they're having. And so then they basically are just on ecstasy.
Yeah.
Like forever.
For seasons, in fact. Literal quote from this excerpt. We were both using a lot of Xanax and Ambien to settle our hyperactivated nerves. What's more, a concerned friend had given us a bunch of psychedelic mushrooms and MDMA to help us process the reality of Raya's impending death. So that was also going on. And often we were literally out of our minds. But I had far more powerful substances coursing through my bloodstream than mere alcohol, weed, Xanax, psilocybin, sedatives, sleeping pills, and ecstasy could ever produce. And so, I suspect, did Raya. That sentence is wild.
That's a wild-ass sentence.
I can't.
Hold on, it gets better. We were sky high on drugs from the internal pharmacy. Endorphins, oxytocin, adrenaline. We couldn't take our eyes off each other. We couldn't take our hands off each other. The tenderness and intimacy of our first night in bed together had escalated into a nearly violent rapture as we pushed each other to ever wilder expressions of eroticism. We were laughing and crying and rolling around the bed in fits of blinding passion. Who needs food? Who needs sleep? Who needs money, plans, clothes, a home, anything but love? Raya was the one who officially had no future, but I was now acting as if I didn't have one either. Elizabeth cancels her paperback book tour.
Yeah.
Most of her speaking engagements. Uh-huh. Stops producing her podcast. Shout out to smart colleague Elizabeth Gilbert. Tells her family to stop calling her and that like she'll loop back around when she feels like it. And spends months doing drugs and fucking in filthy hothouse greenhouse that they have created together in their recording studio home.
I... also, just think the chaos gay mind, the chaotic gay mind is so fascinating because we were high on the supply of our internal pharmacy is one of the most like insane and specifically gay way things I've ever heard in my life.
This is very much Elizabeth Gilbert, but she's gay now.
This whole book. That's it. What if Elizabeth Gilbert was gay?
Because she was so famously not gay.
Uh-huh.
And now she has like a buzz cut and wrote this.
Poster woman for heterosexuality.
crazy fucking story, go to the Patreon for more. I know you have $5.
It's fucking funny. And we did a full hour on that.
We did. We did. And it's a fucking ride, bitch.
It's a ride.
It's a ride, baby. No,
we've been debating what clip to use there because I don't want to spoil the twist.
I know. Exactly. Oh, we're not giving you the twist. No, you pay $5.
You pay $5 for that.
Thank you. Thank you. You want the
you
twist.
Could
you
could Google it, but you would rather hear us talk about
you
it.
You want to hear it from us. I promise you. I promise you, babe.
Until next time, everybody, thank you so much for listening.
You.
We love you. We are here every other week and on the Patreon between those times. And if you keep telling Jordan how much you love her, who knows?
Who knows? Maybe you'll get more of me. Famously, that is the way to summon me into your house, is compliments and money.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Flattery and $5
if the check clears.
If the check clears, yeah, absolutely. Trust me, that summoning circle will not turn on until it does.
Yeah, and like half up front.
Half up front, please.
What are we new here?
Thank you, somebody. Bitch, you've taken this ride before.
The Kibitz is a Cerebrocast production hosted, produced, and edited by Connor Goldsmith and co-hosted by the brilliant Jordan Block, with key art photography by Maxwell Poth and graphic design by Casey Knapp. Check out patreon.com/kibitzcast for more, including the Kitty Bitty, a regular bonus episode exclusive to the Patreon. Cerebrocast Productions, pop culture podcasts that make you think.